Thank you very much, Spencer, and to all of you, because I know you gave up your evening to hear yet another candidate. You guys get the opportunity to hear all the candidates for all the offices, I hope. But I'm here because this is not only an important school that many of you attend, but also a very important community for Democrats in the state. We, of course, need to win the 2018 elections, and we've got to get the vote out. And you all are going to be enormously important in that endeavor. I want to step back and just say, as an initial hello, that I'm here as much to listen to you as I am to talk. You want to know a little about me, and I will certainly tell you. But I also want to know a little about you, and particularly I want to hear what your concerns are and how the next governor of Illinois can help address those concerns. I'll share with you my views about things, but I also know that you're on the cutting edge of these issues many times, particularly the ones that are affecting you as students and as up and coming, you know, citizens, residents of Illinois, what the things are that you believe are going to affect your lives as you grow older and have families and think about what's really important. So let me talk a little bit about my visit earlier today to the research park, because this is a very familiar kind of environment for me. I became a venture capitalist because I believe, and I grew up in an environment around an entrepreneur, and I believe in entrepreneurship. My father started a business with my mother, and together they built a motel business into a hotel business. That's not a technology business, but back in the late 50s, what they were doing was unique. And it was, they started with a motel next to an airport. Now, you may not think that sounds unique now, but in the late 50s, that was a bit unique. Nobody wanted the property around airports. That wasn't particularly attractive to people. And when you flew into a town to go to visit a town, nobody thought about staying at an airport motel. You always flew into a town, you took a taxi, went into the center of the city, and that's where you stayed overnight. But an elderly German American was retiring. His name was Hyatt von Den, and he owned this one motel next to an airport, and it had 100% occupancy all year round. That never happens in a motel or a hotel anywhere. So my parents took it over and started building a motel business based on this idea that maybe people would stay at an airport motel in other places. So when my mother was trying to build the culture and the feel of a motel that you'd want to stay at, my father was trying to find the next motel that they could maybe go acquire and turn into, you know, the second motel and the third motel. Now, any of you grow up in an environment where your parents were entrepreneurs or building a business, small business maybe? Yeah, so you know that you're all in. You don't have any choice as a child, right? When your parents are engaged in a business, you talk about that at the business, at the dinner table. You know, it's something that you care deeply about because it's what your family is doing. And so guess what? My first job, what do you know, at age 14 was working at the motel. And my very first job was, well, you know, your parents probably had the same idea my parents had, which is you should have the worst job as your first job, right? So my parents gave me the worst job, well, maybe the one of the worst jobs anyway at a motel, hardest ones, and that was picking up the dirty sheets that the guests had left behind and gathering them all up and putting them into the industrial size washing machine. And then when they were wet and finished in the cycle, pulling them out and putting them into the industrial size dryer and then pulling them out of there so that they could be pressed and put into use again. But the reason that's a really hard job is because those sheets are not particularly nice to pick up and they're awfully heavy to move from one place to the other. And I did that every day, all day, you know, for my first summer job. But the most important thing about that is what my mother said to me on the very first day as I was leaving my house to go to that job. I don't know if you all remember the very first time you went to get a summer job or any other kind of job. But you know, you're a little distressed, you're a little nervous to go take that job, and you want to do a really good job. And my mother put her hands on each of my shoulders, and she looked me in the eye, and she said, "Now remember, you have to work twice as hard as the guy next to you because you didn't earn this job and he did. And that lesson sticks with me every day. It's important to me, the idea that, you know, I'm lucky, I had really good parents who could afford to, you know, I could afford to go get an education. I could afford to pursue my dreams. I know I started out lucky in life, but I also know that I have to work every day really hard because, you know, it's important to me to earn what I've been given. So I've spent much of my life building things that I thought were good for other people. And even in my own business, I've built things that I think have affected the world in a positive way. In my own business, which by the way, I didn't go into my parents' business. I love what my parents did, but I thought the idea of starting your own business seemed very exciting to me. So I did that. And so today I have a business that employs 10,000 people around the United States and 1,700, more than 1,700 in Illinois, many of them in labor unions, by the way. And we make things like coffee sleeves when you go buy your coffee in the morning, that sleeve that goes on there, we made a lot of those. The boxes when you go to a Panera Bread or any other kind of sandwich shop and you order a sandwich and it comes in a box at McDonald's or other places. We make a lot of those. Sustainable packaging is what we do. There are a lot of other things, but the point is that it's been, you know, my pleasure to be partnered with the employees that we've had in our businesses. But in those 10,000 employees, we've created thousands of jobs. We don't tear down businesses to try to create a profit for ourselves the way this governor has. We build our businesses up. We take the profits and we reinvest them in the businesses because we're trying to build real value. And we, by the way, create a lot of jobs doing that. Now, 1871, which was talked about in the introduction by Spencer, some of you know, how many people here had heard of 1871 before you came here? So 1871 is a little bit like what you have here at U of I. We started in downtown Chicago this incubator. It was my idea, and I gathered people, as I have in the other projects that I'm going to tell you about. I gathered the best people in the industry and people that I thought could help universities and accelerators and successful entrepreneurs. And we all got together and said, how do we create a space that's going to help young startup companies get going in Chicago? And when I had them all together creating all of that, we ended up with a plan that now has created more than 6,000 good paying jobs. It's a nonprofit small business incubator, but these are all for-profit companies. And those companies, of course, graduate out of that space and they go on to grow and you know, become great, great companies. We brought more than $100 million of capital in to support those businesses, those startups. And I'm very proud of the work that we've done. It's a technology incubator. And you all are, by the way, have that right here in Champaign, which is so exciting because this can be done all over the state. It doesn't have to be just in Champaign or just in Chicago. There are towns, cities all over the state where there are universities and there are resources for us to get this done. Jobs can get created. And as you graduate from college or from graduate school and you think about what you're going to do next, I know it's a dream of some people to go start their own business, to build something great that's going to change the world. That's what I've been enabling in not only my business, but also in 1871. Those aren't the only things, though. The things that are kind of the work of my life have been affecting positively the people of Illinois in other ways. 55,000 kids who are in low-income school districts around the state of Illinois get school breakfast every single school day because of the work that I did. I gathered together with the Greater Chicago Food Depository and Share Our Strength, which is a national organization, and we partnered to go get federal grants from No Kid Hungry program, which was President Obama's program, to bring it into the state of Illinois. Less than half of the school districts that were eligible were serving school breakfast. We've extended that to 55,000 kids in the program that I started, and then within that program, we also had an advocacy effort that went to the state legislature, and last year got a bill passed unanimously and signed by the governor. What do you know? I know. Can you think of any bill that's happened in the last 2.5 years that's happened that way? No. But it did. They did pass it, and it's partly because the money was coming from the federal government. and they extended it to 175,000 more kids. So 230,000 kids in the state of Illinois get school breakfast every single day because of that program. I helped to build a Holocaust museum. Now, you build a Holocaust museum because you want to teach people not only about something that happened 70 years ago or more, but because you want to teach people the universal lessons of the Holocaust, right? So that it doesn't happen again. So every single year, and I led the effort to build this museum, took us 9 years to build. But every single year, more than 50,000 kids from around the state of Illinois go to the Illinois Holocaust Museum to learn to fight bigotry and hatred and intolerance. And thousands of teachers from around the state go to the museum to learn to take it back to their classrooms and teach it every single day or through their curriculum in a year. So these are important things that I've been part of that I think are things that I'll take with me. They're values that I take with me. Spencer was kind enough to use the B word, billionaire. And people have often asked me, why should we elect another billionaire? We have a billionaire and he's a failure. Why should we elect another guy who's a billionaire? This election isn't about money, it is about values. It is about standing up for progressive values. It's about standing up and saying that that millionaires and billionaires ought to pay a higher rate of tax than people who make $20,000 and $30,000 and $40,000 and $50,000 a year. It is about standing up to build back up our education system, not only K-12, but the university system, making sure that our professors stay in place, that your MAP grants are funded, and that every child, every kid in Illinois, I say child because I have a 12 and 14 year old and they'll hopefully want to go to college in 6 and 4 years, but every kid that wants to go to college in the state of Illinois and can't afford it should be able to go to college. We should create that. Yeah, we should create that. It should be a mandate. Remember that we create real economic development in this state when we develop the talent in the state. I mean, you all are resources for the state. You are great people that are developing your own careers. We want you to stay in the state of Illinois, right? And your parents who, maybe live here in the state of Illinois, they want you to be near home. And you're at one of the great universities in the country. Why is this governor tearing it down? I don't understand how somebody who says he wants to create jobs doesn't understand that education is an enormous part of job creation in a state. Last year in this state, we had 0.5% job growth. It's in the bottom third of job growth in the entire country, out of 50 states, in the bottom third. We're 37th. And it's getting worse. He wakes up every day thinking, how do we lower wages and lower regulation and lower taxes in this state? Yeah, and everybody would like lower taxes. But here's the thing. Lower regulation and lower wages and lower taxes, if that were the answer to job creation, which is what he thinks, then why are California and New York creating more job growth than we have in Illinois? By the way, Minnesota has more job growth than we have in Illinois. In fact, many of the states around us have more job growth than we have in Illinois. So he's got it all wrong. I think you want a governor who's going to wake up every single day wanting to raise wages in the state, create jobs in the state, make workplaces safer, and yeah, pay for the things that really matter in this state, like a university education, like K-12 education, and importantly, like social services and the social safety net in our state. I spent earlier today with a group that's serving meals to kids who don't get meals either for breakfast or for dinner. They only get school lunch. That's all that they get, because when they go to school, that's what gets served, right? And if they get a school breakfast at school, it's either because we helped to create that school breakfast or because someone donated it to that school. This program is feeding those kids when they need it. And they get, for the weekends, they get a backpack that has 6 meals in the backpack, right? And they're non-perishable. So they can take them home. The kids often don't have adults helping them to make their meals, so they need to be able to make it easily for themselves. And this program's helping them. You know what's happened to this program? It's been decimated. It's gone from 70 locations in the state to 7. 70 to 7. I mean, tens of thousands of kids are going hungry because this governor will not introduce a balanced budget, because he won't step up to the plate and do what he is constitutionally required to do, that's awful. We need a governor who's going to step up and negotiate and get a deal for a balanced budget and pay for the things that are important in the state. And that means restoring social services, restoring education, K-12 and preschool, by the way. And we need to make university education great in this state. You all are in one of the great institutions in the state. Everywhere, students ought to be able to get a great education. So I'm really excited to be here. I will tell you that as somebody who has fought for progressive values my whole life, somebody who's standing up for the fight for 15 and have, not just as a candidate for governor, which I only, you know, started thinking about 4 or 5 months ago, but I was out on the campaign trail fighting against Donald Trump, by the way. There's no candidate that fought harder against Donald Trump over the last year and a half than I did. There isn't. I traveled this country and I spoke out. I was on national television speaking out about it. I raised money. I walked door to door. I've been doing that since I was 11 years old, involved in politics, knocking on doors for progressive candidates since I was 11 years old. And I was phone banking too. Fought hard. And yeah, we lost in November and it's horrible. And we now need to resist. And there's nobody who has fought harder and nobody who will fight harder against what this president is now trying to do to the nation and to our state. So as somebody who has stood up for those values, who stands up for a progressive income tax system in the state, and who wants to make sure that every kid who wants to go to college has the opportunity to do that, I'm hoping that I'll have your support as we head into the primaries in March and then into the general election in November, because we've got to beat Bruce Rauner.